I miss a green, for example. I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
All right, Polly and Kyle, we're back for another podcast about fantasy golf and this week's Waste Management Open. How are you guys doing?
Hey guys, what's up?
Not too much. How about you?
I'm reveling in the fact that caddies might be overrated. Jason Day capturing the W. Unfortunately, his withdrawal from the Wednesday Pro-Am threw me for a loop and made me change my pick. Very, very sad weekend watching him win.
Hindsight's a little bit 20-20 right there, right?
Hey, our listeners know I picked him.
I don't blame you, though. There was literally probably a 70% chance he was not going to finish two rounds. And obviously the other 30% was that he does and he wins and he played great. I mean, he three incredible rounds.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. After the first day, you weren't that mad, though, Andy, right? I mean, he was a couple over par, right, I think? And you're thinking, oh, I might even miss the cut. And then all of a sudden, puts together a heck of a round of the North Course on Friday, and all of a sudden, back in contention.
Yeah, I think the last time I picked Jason Day, he withdrew mid-tournament. So I've just been, you know, foiled by Jason Day and his injuries, his fluky injuries. For two years now.
Every time he shoots 73 to open up at the Farmers, we need to hammer him to win because that he did that a couple years ago too.
Well, I think it's another the fourth or fifth year in a row you've had somebody that shot even or worse in the first round win the event.
It's not good to have the 54 hole lead for sure. What'd you guys think of Tiger?
I was really impressed. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think it was a little surprising the fact that going into it, we expected his short game to kind of be the problem, when in reality, his short game was pretty good. Now, it might have been because the rough was long and he was able to kind of get up and down from that, kind of like we talked in the pod last week. But surprising me was that he was actually more inaccurate off the tee than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I thought Thursday he drove it really, really well. And he was pummeling his tee shots. You know, it's hard to tell. I didn't always know what Hoffman and Reed were hitting off the tee. But, I mean, Tiger was the last to play almost every time that first day. And I mean, piping his tee shots. And then obviously the driver got away from him the next 3 days. But the short game, I'm not 100% sold on yet because he did miss the green three or four times. But he did, I mean, granted, he got up and down all day long. I mean, his scrambling was terrific. So I think it's exciting. I think that he's, you know, basically at the very least an average tour pro, and can an average tour pro win a major in a given year? Sure. So, I mean, I think it's exciting. I can't wait to see, and I hope he gets in contention in the near future.
I like that Justin Ray stat that I put in the newsletter this morning that had his strokes gained for the week. He was essentially what Brooks Koepka was all of last year. So if he plays like that, he's going to win some tournaments probably.
Right.
Yeah, the only misleading thing a little bit from this past week is that they didn't have strokes gained stats in the North Course, so it is only from the three rounds of the South Course. So that's just something to keep in mind as we kind of go through the fantasy for this week as well.
So going into fantasy, runner-up Alex Noren, who has no course history here, much like the Farmers, is in the field again, but you know, a bunch of other big names. Alex Noren, are you riding the hot hand this week?
I don't know if this course suits him that well. The one interesting fact about last week is even though he was in the playoff, he actually lost strokes gained putting last week at Torrey. So that's how good he hit the ball in the wind last week. So the only question is this week heading to, you know, the Phoenix Open, it's typically won by guys that are making a lot of mid-range birdie putts because, you know, the winner's going to have about 20 birdies for the week probably.
But, I mean, given Hideki's success in Phoenix, and he's not known for his putting prowess, wouldn't that, you know, the great ball strikers really kind of come to the top, rise to the top here?
Potentially, but I mean, you're looking kind of like an individual basis there. Hideki's actually, I think, you know, putted pretty decent there in the past. I think his last 3 years, he's actually gained strokes putting at Phoenix. So that's kind of the reason that he's not, the reason he's won, but he had an elite approach game. He gained, I think, 14 shots approach the last 2 years there. And I think he's gained, I think, 28 shots his last 4 years there on approach when he finished, you know, top four every year. So that's just kind of, you know, insane approach game where I don't know if Noren is to that level.
So are the stats you're looking at this week approach and putting for the most part, or?
For Phoenix Open, I usually don't actually look at that many stats. I kind of look based upon, it's more of a field tournament for me in terms of how I think guys' games apply to this golf course and kind of looking at course history a little bit, because it's still early in the year, so it's really tough to track, you know, what their current stats are, especially when you had strokes gained stats at the Career Builder a couple weeks ago. We only had it for the one course. Last week, we only had it for 3 out of 4 rounds. So there's a little bit of, you know, not being entirely sure on some of the data.
So Hideki coming in hasn't finished outside the top four. You know, is he, obviously he's going to be a chalky pick, two-time defending champion. Are you riding him, or are you looking to go contrarian this week?
It's going to be pretty hard for me to fade him this week, just because he's gone, he's had 2 wins, I think a second and a fourth here, and each of those 4 years he's had at least 19 birdies and hasn't shot over par on this golf course. So between that upside and consistency and the fact that we saw a little bit of flashes of the old Hideki this past week at Torrey on a course that he traditionally struggles at, I'm probably going to be using Hideki, although we do have a lot of other good options at the top.
Fowler being one of them?
Fowler is really good course history here, yeah. And I think he may go a touch under-owned, even though his price is pretty low this week, just because he missed the cut last week. People kind of, you know, get burned by him and may not put him in their lineup. They may, you know, choose somebody else. So I think he's definitely a failed option this week.
Yeah, it is Fowler's first missed cut since last June. And I was looking, I was writing the newsletter this morning on the plane that I was on. He's racked up 9 top 10 finishes in his last 14 starts. It's not too shabby with the only missed cut coming last week.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, if you're looking on a DraftKings side, you know, he's $1,100 less than Matsuyama and $1,000 less than Spieth. So that's a lot of salary savings in the DraftKings side.
Mm-hmm. So you got 5 of the top 7 players in the world. Outside of Matsuyama, Fowler, you got Spieth, Rahm, Justin Thomas also in the field. And then, I mean, it's a really, really good field. Who else do you like kind of the bigger names in this event?
Of the bigger names, I would probably, if I had to pick like a third person besides Hideki and Fowler, I would probably go Rahm. And I think the reason behind that is people kind of saw that he really struggled this past weekend, and that may kind of push him off a little bit, but he's going back to Arizona where he went to school, very familiar with desert golf. And the fact that the reason, you know, he kind of played bad last week was actually on the greens in the approach game. He actually led the field in strokes gained off the tee last week. I mean, albeit it was only for the 3 rounds of the South course, but still, it's pretty amazing considering he finished, I don't know, what, 30th or something like that for you?
Yeah, I saw he lost like 6 shots on the greens the last 2 rounds, which...
Yeah, I think he lost something similar to that actually approaching the green, which is where he's usually, you know, his best part of his game is usually his, you know, short mid irons. So,
mm-hmm. I think then there's a pretty next clear tier where you've got Leishman, Berger, Noren, Finau, Simpson, who has great course history, JB Holmes, who might get booed in it when he gets into 16, Gary Woodland, Phil, and Kuchar. Who do you like from here?
I would probably go Webb in this group. So Webb's been, you know, kind of figured out his putter back in the fall season and the beginning of this year. And, you know, I think he lost in a playoff here last year to Hideki. So I'd be looking for him to continue that success this week, most likely.
How about Woodland? Woodland played well last week. I know he got off to a rough start yesterday, but this seems to be a course that would fit him well.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, for some reason, he likes playing at Torrey a lot, just based upon the way the tee shot's set up. So when he was playing at Torrey, all the holes that are dogleg left to right a little bit are holes you have to driver, and the holes that are kind of right to left you had to lay up on. So that really suits his game. Whereas here, he hasn't had that much success. He only has one top 10 finish in eight starts and has missed two of his last three cuts here. So
that's crazy.
I wouldn't necessarily pick him as the best option this week.
It's Austin Cook getting a big salary at 8,300. Highest rookie on the board. Obviously, he's played really well, but ahead of, you know, Ryan Moore, some other guys like Chappell, Patton Kizzire. What do you think about these guys in this area?
Yeah, so I like Austin Cook this week. One of my comp players that I do for rookies, I try to compare who are they really like on the PGA Tour and try to look at what courses that PGA Tour player has played well in the past. So Austin Cook reminds me a little bit of Webb Simpson in terms of very accurate off the tee and you know, very, very solid with the iron game from, you know, 100 to 175. And if they can catch a hot putter, that's when they're you know, getting top five finishes. Otherwise, they're just a top 30 machine. So I really like Austin Cook this week. I'd rather play him than J.B. Holmes, because I think he's going to be way over owned this week.
Yeah, he's got good course history here, right, J.B.?
Yeah, he's won here twice, a couple other high finishes. The only issue I have is that he usually does it based on ball striking. And if we look at last week at Torrey, he gained 10.5 shots on the greens putting last week at Torrey in those three rounds in the South Course. And he was less than a shot above field average in all the parts of the game combined. So if he's not hitting the ball that great, that may not work out well at Phoenix Open.
It was weird. I looked up driving distance stats, and J.B. Holmes was like 47th in driving distance. I don't know what was going on. Was he not hitting driver a lot last week?
No, I think the driving distance stats are only based, I think, two or three tee balls, if I'm correct. So there might have been one where if he hits in the rough, he's not getting the 20, 30 yards a roll.
Yeah, that's true.
So small sample size, you get some weird results sometimes.
So kind of getting down more into like where we're looking at sleepers in, you know, 7,700 and below, what are some guys that you've got marked? Our boy JJ Spahn had another, I think, top 10 this week, huh?
Yeah, I'm liking JJ Spahn. He played here last year, had a top five finish, and I think it was second in the field in birdies or better, which is obviously great for DraftKings. And the other guy I liked in this area is Ali Schneiderjans, who burned a lot of people, including myself, in some lineups last week. But he has the upside to where he's a guy that can go out and make 8, 9, 10 birdies in a round, and you really wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. That's both those guys seem to play well generally on the West Coast as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And especially, I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout this week. You know, the winning score, you know, between 15 to 20 under. And we've had 10 of the last 11 years here that it's been determined either in a playoff or by one shot. So wouldn't be surprised if you get another long playoff, which mm-hmm. is kind of the trend we've been having all year.
Yeah, seriously, it would be a third straight year of cutting into the Super Bowl if it happens.
Well, unless JB's in contention, in that case, it may go to Monday.
he is definitely going to he's going to have to live with that for a long time now.
He's getting his four minutes and 10 seconds of fame from it. So
yeah. So then we get down into kind of more of the low price guys, and who are the guys that are worth taking flyers on? What about my boy Michael Kim?
I'm still not a fan of Michael Kim, even after his performance last week. I mean, I get it because he was a local player there and, you know, familiar with the course, and he had a pretty good finish, but I don't think that's going to translate over here to Phoenix here. But one guy that I kind of mentioned a little bit last week in the pod was kind of talking about Retief Husin a little bit. So interesting enough, he actually led the field in strokes gained approach last week.
The goose.
The goose is alive.
What about the goose and Ted Potter? What about the goose and Ted Potter bringing it in the first round?
That's what we get for calling them out on here. They obviously had to hear that and give them a little bit of inspiration. So
so you like goose this week?
I'm not saying I love him, but I think he's definitely an option because I think no one's going to play him. He's going to be a guy that's going to be 1 or 2% owned at 7,300 because guys are going to take, you know, Bud Cauley or Molinari or Griot or Luke List. They're going to take those guys over Husen. So if you want a guy that's going to be 1% owned for a tournament, he's not a bad option.
You know, I didn't see his name, which is probably a bad sign. But what happened to Andrew Landry last week?
Yeah, he missed the cut by I think 4 or 5 shots. So,
a good thing I didn't make any bets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So down here, I mean, Kokrak, he mashes the ball. Seems like this could be a place he could play well.
Possibly. The only thing is, I don't know if it's necessarily a bomber's golf course, and he hasn't had that much success here. I mean, obviously, you had guys like JB and Bubba play well in the past, but Kokrak's missed 4 of his last 6 cuts of this course. So I understand he's been playing well, you know, better of late, but I'm still hesitant on playing a guy in that range. I think there's a lot better options that have had, you know, better success at this course in the past. Mm-hmm. Kind of maybe like a Kevin Na or even like a Martin Laird.
Yeah.
What about Lahiri?
I'd probably be more likely to go to a guy that maybe is like Peter Uihlein, who's getting, you know, getting away from Poana greens and back on Bermuda greens. And, you know, he's a guy who's, you know, I think he's top 70 in the world or something like that. And, you know, he's down at 6,800, which is pretty cheap in my opinion.
Yeah. You get down into this 6,800 range and I mean, you got, 7,000, you got Grayson Murray and Bryson DeChambeau. Grayson went to ASU for a short stint, and you know he's played pretty decent. Is he a guy you got your eye on?
He does make a lot of birdies. The only thing I'm afraid of on this course is that it's really easy to make a large number, and Grayson is definitely known for that. We've seen a lot of guys hit in the desert here and make double or triples, or pipe one OB, or pipe one in the water on some of the par fives. So I'd probably steer away from Grayson. Just because I think guys are going to kind of click his name based upon, you know, they've seen him a little bit on TV over the past couple months.
I'm excited to see Grayson in the 16th to hear what people are saying. See how he reacts.
Yeah, they could definitely make some interesting pairings going into the 16th hole if they wanted to, you know, put some of the guys together and make it interesting for some fans. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so down here, anybody else that catches your eye at the very bottom?
I mean, you got Chesson Hadley, who continues to be underpriced last week, underpriced this week. He has one of the highest birdie rates out there and, you know, solid tee to green game and, you know, almost won in the fall and a couple other high finishes, and he's only 6,900. So I think I'd probably be using him in some tournaments based upon those facts.
Mm-hmm. Not a J.J. Henry fan, huh?
Not a J.J. Henry. I'd rather go with a guy like Will McGirt, who has had, you know, pretty decent course history here. I think he's had, you know, 5 straight top 35 finishes here, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that may go a little bit under the radar because people don't picture him as a guy with a lot of high finishes at this track because they never were top 10s, but they're guys that make the cut for you and finish good enough to kind of help your lineup.
Wyndham Clark could be an interesting play. He played really well on the web the week before. He was the lead 54 hole leader before he finished. He finished in the top 10 though. But he'd be an interesting guy. He makes a ton of birdies, hits it long, great putter too.
Yeah. And that's one of the things down in this price range. You're looking to hit a guy that can get you a top 15, top 20 finish and hope he's maybe 1 or 2% owned and hope some of the chalkier plays that guys choose, you know, miss the cut. And that's how you kind of jump up the standings.
So, in terms of one and done, if you're not going with Hideki, who are some guys that you should look at? If you say like me, I've got 3 made cuts but 3 low finishes, and I know everybody's picking Hideki this week, so it could be a good opportunity for me to go contrarian and pick up some points if Hideki doesn't win his 3rd straight.
Yeah, I think you have a few options. The one kind of obvious option would be to go John Rahm this week, because if you look on the theory-wise, I mean, a lot of guys used him the last 2 weeks, so maybe only half of your league has him left, and they're probably going to be saving him for a major, maybe a WGC, and they realized he kind of faded this past week, so he may only be picked by a couple people in your league because everyone's going to be at Matsuyama, but you're picking a guy who has high upside to win. So it's a way to maybe jump up the standings if Hideki falters and Rahm wins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you maybe want to go a little bit lower, Simpson this week.
That's who I think I'm going to take, Webb. I kind of want to use Hideki in a major this year. I think he's going to potentially win one.
He could definitely be a good fit, possibly for Congressional or even maybe at Carnoustie for the British.
I don't know if they're playing Congressional. They aren't playing Congressional.
Oh, no, not Bellary. Oh, sorry, Shinnecock. Sorry.
Shinnecock. No, that's okay. I'll just edit it out. Yeah. All right, so Kyle, you're taking Webb?
I'm going Webb.
Paulie?
I'm probably going to eat the chalk with Matsuyama this week.
I'm just still so bummed about not getting my J Day win. That was the pick of the year for me. I'll probably go with Rahm. Maybe Daniel Berger. Just out of left field.
I mean, it is back on Bermuda Green, so that does suit Berger.
Yeah, that could be the guy I go with. I'm going between one of those guys. I won't decide until the minute of, and then I might decide. I might pick somebody else. So
just let me know who you pick, so then I can place a bet so that I know they're gonna win probably. So
yeah, who I don't pick?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Who do you guys have in the football game?
Yeah, that's a more important question.
I got Patriots winning somewhere between 3 to 7 points. I'm thinking.
That sounds about right. I think Belichick's gonna have a good game plan, him and Patricia for Foles. I'm going to go Patriots by 10-ish.
I think Foles had like the performance of a lifetime in the championship game. It's going to be, and it, you know what it is about the Patriots is that like that Philly's D has been really good this year, but like they just wear on teams. And by
these annoying bubble screens and wheel routes, and you just all they do is break one or two a game, and that's the game.
And it's just mismatches.
And when you're looking at the Super Bowl, you usually have head coaches and quarterbacks. Those are the guys you look for. And I'd rather have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady versus not Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yeah,
correct.
So I guess I'm.
So basically, everyone should bet the Eagles.
A lot of people are actually, surprisingly.
Is Brady the greatest quarterback of all time?
Did you see speaking of the greatest quarterback of all time, did you guys see that video of Mickelson throwing the football today?
No.
I forgot where I saw it on Twitter. I'm sure you could search it on Twitter. But, I mean, he's throwing like, it looks like 40-yard perfect spirals. I was like, oh, my God. Phil, right-handed, too.
It's like what Brandel said.
I know. Take him to the fair. Win all the big toys.
Yeah. He can throw balls any way you want it. so we'll be back next week, and I guess go whoever you're rooting for.
See you guys.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Fried Egg Podcast. We do the digging for you.